Have mercy on me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are obvious differences between the publican and the Pharisee in this particular gospel passage. But among them, of course, is the fact that the publican recognizes his defect, his faults, whereas the Pharisee does not. And we want to kind of wrap up the issue of how we deal with a predominant defect in order for us to have a grasp of how you conquer them, because a lot of people just don't spend much time and energy trying to conquer them. And that brings up the first point, that is, you cannot suffer from spiritual sloth if you're going to really conquer your predominant defects, because people who suffer from spiritual sloth are just not interested. They become complacent in where they're at in their spiritual life. The fact that they have these defects kind of bothers them, but they really don't care that much because they're just comfortable where they're at. So the first thing you have to do is conquer spiritual sloth, and that comes principally through charity, which I'll talk about towards the end. Because the predominant fault is our principal interior enemy, we have to combat it. In other words, this is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is essentially a battle over the real territory that's being fought for. The battlefield is our bodies. The world, the flesh, and the devil, that's where the temptations come from. But the spiritual writers are very clear on the fact that the world only tempts the flesh, so it hinges on the flesh, and the devil can only make use of the flesh. So it all hinders on our flesh. This is why St. Paul says, I bring my body into subjection. Once you bring it into subjection, you remove from the devil and the world the ability to affect you. So you have to be willing to fall into battle. This is spiritual combat, and it means you have to be willing to fight and do the things necessary to overcome your particular defect. When it is conquered, temptations will no longer be very dangerous. But rather, God will continue to allow you to suffer them in order for your spiritual progress. In other words, each time you say no to the thing that has been a problem with you in the past, even though you might not have really strong inclinations from yourself in relationship to it, God will still allow you to be afflicted from time to time in order for you to advance in the opposite virtue. Next, without coming to knowledge of our predominant defect or conquering it, there's no true spiritual progress. So you have to have a real desire to advance spiritually. The general principle means in all aspects of the spiritual life and warfare, and we can say this is also applies to overcoming our predominant fault, is threefold. Prayer, so consistent prayer will help you to conquer it. Examination of conscience. Most people go weeks on end without really reflecting on where they're at spiritually. And the spiritual writers very often suggest people to make an examination of conscience before they go to bed each night to see how they did each day. And then that way, when you actually go to confession, you actually don't have to think, okay, what did I do? Because you'll remember it very quickly. Penance. Now, there's two sides to the penance. One, you have to be willing to do penance in order to merit the grace necessary to conquer your sins and to advance in the spiritual life. The second thing is, part of penance is a willingness to suffer. Now, a lot of people don't overcome their predominant defect because they're unwilling to suffer. If you're willing to brace the suffering, God himself will begin to purify and purge you of your defects. And people kind of know this, that when they go through a very difficult, painful suffering, when they come out the other end, if they endured it, embraced the suffering, and were able to do it well, then they come out the other end of the suffering more spiritually mature, and their interior life is usually quieter. Once you know what your predominant defect is, as we talked about how to determine it in the last homily, you have to ask for the specific graces to combat it. If you ask God to help, do not get discouraged when he allows you to suffer temptations in this area. Again, it's there to build strength in your will and virtue by denying your object to the defect. But you have to ask for the specific grace. You know, God, help me to overcome the habit of lying. Help me to overcome impurity. Help me to overcome, etc. So you just have to ask for the specific graces. So that's one thing, asking for specific graces. Then you have to investigate the various means or devotions to overcoming it. Very often there are specific devotions to to saints or to Our Lady or some aspect of Our Lady in order to help you to overcome it. For example, with respect to impurity, you've heard me talk about the devotion of the three Hail Marys. That's one that people can use consistently. Also praying to saints who had purity. Sometimes people have a particular devotion to one saint because that saint helps them regularly, and you can ask that particular saint to help you to master that particular area. Or find the saint that just was really good at it. You know, if you're looking for purity, there's St. Maria Goretti, the Cure of Ours, you know, Padre Pio. There's a number of different saints that had mastery in that area. That practically all of them did, of course. But you can ask them for those who are noted for it. You can even ask St. Augustine, if you've fallen repeatedly, you know, help me not to be like you. You know, God, make me chaste, just not now. You know, which is really where a lot of people are at with their defect. You know, I really need to overcome that, but I really just don't want to do it now. You have to practice the opposite virtue. If your problem is impurity, you have to practice purity. If your problem is being immodest in speech, then you have to be quiet. If your habit is lying, then you have to get in the habit of telling the truth or willing to suffer the truth. Because sometimes people lie because they're not willing to suffer the truth. You know, in other words, you have to find out what the opposite virtue is and practice it consistently. By practice, it means you do the acts that help you to engender that. And you do it intentionally. Okay, I'm going to do this in order to help me overcome this particular defect. A defect, as I've mentioned, is another name for a vice. So once you find out what its name is, the particular vice, then you find out what its opposite virtue is necessary to attain it, and you attain that. This requires repeated action. See, one of the real problems with human beings is they want to be angelic. They just don't want to have to really overcome a particular problem by repeated action. See, angels have no virtue save the theological virtues. They had faith until they consented, and then they saw God, and then the faith ceases to exist because it has to do with things that are unseen. Same with hope. Once they see God, they don't have hope anymore except for other people. The only virtue that remains in them is charity. So the point being is that they only had to do one action to attain the thing that pertained to the virtues of faith, hope, and charity, that is God. And that's what human beings want to be like. I just want to do one thing and then it'll be done and over with. That's not how the spiritual life works. It takes repeated action over and over and over again. And sometimes people can feel like they're the little hamster in the wheel, you know, going over and over and over and over again. It doesn't seem like they're getting anywhere, but you don't worry about that. The moral to the story is that you're making progress. As long as you keep advancing, keep doing the virtuous thing, then you're conquering your predominant defect. And that means you also have to have a commitment to the life of virtue. You know, I get a certain amount of humor when they say things like, oh, well, you know, you can elect somebody to be president or to public office, and it's not a matter of his character. That's the most absurd and ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life. Well, no, it's not, but it's pretty close. The moral to the story is that character is another name for the person's virtue or vice, their repeated behavior. Now, if a man gets into office and his repeated behavior is the lie, then you cannot expect him to tell the truth. If his repeated behavior is to do evil things, he's going to do evil things when he's in office. But that also tells us a little bit about something about ourselves, too. And that is the types of friends we want to be around or the types of people we like very often tells us what our defects are. And also it tells us that sometimes when we're around certain people, we like to be around certain people's company because we want to engage in the sin of that defect, which tells us we're not pursuing virtue. We should try and beget friends whose life is imbued with virtue. If you want to start conquering your defects, it's going to be difficult until you start doing that. You can also do binding prayers to keep demons at bay from making hay by making use of your predominant defect. In other words, what are binding prayers? Well, they're basically prayers that you say to bind demons from affecting you, from influencing you. Then you can also, of course, use charity. Charity, as St. Paul says, covers a multitude of sins, but it also covers a multitude of defects. As people advance in charity, they will notice that their vices will simply disappear on their own. So, and by charity, I don't mean just being nice to your neighbor. I mean really advancing in the love of God. If you love God, you will have a zeal for Him. And that zeal will manifest itself in being ruthless on yourself in overcoming any defect you may have. In the next homily, we'll talk about the three stages of the interior life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.